Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, absolutely packed. Colin's right, Colin's wrong. We have a ton of both. And Joy Taylor is joining me on a Monday. We are officially now in the middle of the first week of August. There's football games being played. We're rolling now, right?
We are. It's here. It's back.
It's here. It's back. And, well, you know what I got to lead with today?
Let me guess.
So, Baker Mayfield yesterday or this weekend at a Cleveland Indians game. And the camera goes on him, and Baker's a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. He's there with his lovely wife and his new mustache. And they take a picture of him with a beer, and he takes a beer. And then he realizes the camera's on. He goes, throw me a beer. And he bites into it, and he rips it open. And it's very funny. And, you know, he points to his jersey. And, of course, Cleveland loves him because it's Cleveland. This is a franchise that hasn't had any fun at quarterback for 30 years. And Baker Mayfield's a lot of fun, and he's a showman. And he was waiting for that moment because he knew they'd put him on camera, just like the underwear ads before the season started. And the Cleveland Indians had fun with it, and they went to Twitter and social media because they haven't won a World Series since, like, ever. And they're making fun of me, and they knew I would overreact to it. But I'm not going to overreact to it because, Colin, what's your reaction to this? Baker Mayfield is perfect for Cleveland. This is an organization where Peyton Hillis, a fullback, was a really big deal. They don't celebrate championships. They don't celebrate division titles. Right now, they just want to celebrate, we got a new quarterback, and he wants to be one of us. And we would shotgun beers because it's Cleveland. And he's perfect for Cleveland because everybody that's famous in Cleveland, it gets really good leaves. LeBron twice. The Rockefellers. Drew Carey. Joe Walsh of the Eagles. Hell, the Browns left. Manny Ramirez. CC Sabathia. Of course Cleveland's putting their arms around him. Yes. Now, if I was Baker Mayfield, 1-5 against winning teams with a rookie head coach who's never even been hired as a coordinator. If you take two games out of Baker last year against the atrocious Bengals, where he had 7 touchdowns and no picks, his numbers were really, really average. Even for a rookie quarterback, they were pretty average. But be that as it may, this morning, Cleveland and Baker feel like the NFL's best frat house. Best parties, best beer chuggers, a lot of alpha, the funniest guys. Of course, like the Browns, the plumbing hasn't worked at that frat house in 28 years. And I'd never, ever want to live in a frat house. But the best time for a frat house, you guys know what it is. Now, I'm not going to speak for women in sororities, but the best time for a frat house is rush week. September! No big midterms yet. No big finals net. The front door is still on its hinges. They're throwing the best parties. The weather is perfect. Everybody still qualified for school. Nobody's been thrown out yet. It's rush week at the NFL's best frat house. Of course, the frat house is not where you want to be during finals week, otherwise known as January in the NFL. That's when the Steelers flourish and the Patriots flourish and the Eagles flourish and guys like Belichick and Andy Reid and Sean McVay flourish. No. You don't want to be the best frat house during finals week. And that's what matters in the NFL, not September. But I will say, Odelta Baker is a hell of a frat house here in rush week. But if you ever watch those movies with frat houses, think about all the great frat house movies you've watched. You ever notice what they're always about? The frat guys, due to bad behavior, trying to keep the house. The school wants to take it back. The local municipalities want to take it back. So congratulations. I thought Baker looked like he was a little too good at that beer chugging. Little too good for my franchise quarterback. 1-5 against winning teams, but it's Cleveland. Stars leave. He's showing he loves you. He's part of you. I'm one of you. I'm wearing your jersey. I drink beer like you. I chug like you. You're mine. I'm yours. And of course, it's Cleveland. Of course, that has massive impact and feels so wonderful. And right now, they are the coolest frat on campus, which is the best place to be during rush week, September. Nobody's flunked out yet. I'll take the Steelers, Patriots, Chiefs, Colts, Eagles, and Rams during finals week. Let me shift to this. So Dallas Cowboys, Zeke is still holding out. Zeke is running back Ezekiel Elliott. He's a very, very good player. And I will say this about Zeke. He's been a headache off the field, a circus since he arrived, day one. But Jerry Jones has a high level of tolerance for dysfunction. And there are certain jobs where that's really important. If you were managing a rock band in the 70s and 80s and 90s specifically, a high level of tolerance for dysfunction would be a very valuable asset. Ever watch those shows, VH1, Behind the Music? And you'd watch that and think, oh my God, somebody had to manage this train wreck? Ugh. But there's a guy out there or a woman out there that managed rock bands. And they had a high level of tolerance for dysfunction. I would say camp counselors, people who run daycare centers, no explanation needed, high level of tolerance for dysfunction. Jerry Jones, an owner of a football team, has a high level of tolerance. He talked about the holdouts. He's been through dozens of them, and listen to his calm demeanor.
You just know that, like so many things, it'll happen. It'll happen. There literally is no concern on my part at all about any time frame. That'll happen. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. Think about it a minute. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. That always happens when it's good, that good for both of them.
Take a deep breath. We're going to be okay. He's good. I've got tolerance. I've been through a lot. It's good for our business. Good for his business. We'll get it done. But I want to add some context here. It is of my opinion, and perhaps my opinion only, that Dak Prescott, like a lot of young people, men and women in life, was a bit of a late bloomer and improved a lot at the end of last year. 7-1 in his last 8 games. It is also of my opinion that his numbers improved more with Amari Cooper than Zeke. It is of my opinion that there is a belief in America that Dak needs Zeke. And my opinion is Dak actually matches better with Amari Cooper. In fact, I've been putting up this graph, sorry radio audience, for about 2 weeks. This is Dak before and after the Amari Cooper trade. So before they landed Amari Cooper, Dak was 3-4 after 7-2. He completed 62 before Amari Cooper, 71 after. 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions before Amari Cooper, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions after Amari Cooper. But you know what's funny about that graph, Joy? You know what's really, really funny about that graph? The before column, Zeke was with Dak, and he was just okay. You believe, you keep lecturing me on Dak needs Zeke. Well, I've got the numbers last year when he had Zeke and didn't have Amari, and they were a below 500 team. So why would that be? Why do we believe this? There's an old saying, and I've used it a couple of times. You're looking through the wrong end of the telescope here. Because really horrible things leave an imprint. You can remember the fight you got in with your sister, dad, mom as a kid. 8 years old. You're 35. You still remember it. I'm 55. I can remember crying, getting off a school bus, kids making fun of me. I was like 7. I'm now mid-50s. The bad moments in your life, breaking an arm, falling off a stool, a fight, getting cut from a high school team, getting an F in high school. Those bad memories resonate, last forever. They never go away. I was just hiking this weekend with a buddy. We're talking about, isn't it random the things that stick in your mind as a child? It's like, yeah, it's always like the scariest moment, the saddest moment, the most hurtful moment, the most terrifying moment. The good stuff, you don't remember all that, but the bad stuff you remember. So a couple of years ago, Zeke was suspended. And Dak, the first three games without Zeke, oh my Lord, they were terrible. Dak was terrible. But you're not remembering it quite right. Like those baseball players who looked at Congress and said, you're misremembering it. You're misremembering those games. Dak then stabilized and went 3-0 in the next three without Zeke. They scored 38, 30, 20. Yes, they averaged 30 points a game for three straight games without Zeke. And just Dak. And no Amari either. By the way, Zeke came back. They lost. And for the record, Dak is way better today than 2 years ago. Amari is who he needs. I've got the numbers. You've got them. I love that Jerry Jones has tolerance. I love it for all this dysfunction. But this idea that Dak can't flourish, Dak can't win. It should be noted that when Zeke was gone for a suspension, they were also missing a left tackle, Tyron Smith, who at the time was perceived, and probably rightly so, as the best left tackle in football. I'll say it again. It is of my opinion, Dak is getting better. Dak needs Amari more than Zeke. It is of my opinion you could get a haul for Zeke. It is of my opinion he's crazy now without money. Like Antonio Brown, there are certain guys that get money and kind of change, and it does worry me with Zeke and not Dak and not Amari. Again, start looking at the personalities. Start looking at the data. Start looking through the right end of the telescope. I'll say it again. Congrats on having an owner in Dallas who is tolerant of dysfunction. But I think Dak's better and Dak needs Amari more than the narrative that he is completely beholden to Ezekiel Elliott.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So last year at this time, Peter Schrager, Fox Sports, NFL insider, said Patrick Mahomes is the next great star in this league. And we all knew he was talented, but he had gone to Chiefs camp and he's like, trust me on this, Patrick Mahomes is going to blow up the league. And we were all like, Peter's been drinking a little bit in the summer. Well, Peter was right. And he joins us now via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Okay, Schrags, last year, you're 1-0 and you're feeling good. You got that summer tan. So let's make it 2-0. Who is the young breakout star this year in the NFL?
I love it, Colin. Thank you for those props. Let me now ruin all that with a prediction that I will be held accountable to all season. Same thing. Been around, been talking to everybody, and my phone does not stop lighting up about Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray is going to be a sensation in this league from day one. And it's not just me. It's everyone out of Arizona, whether it be the general manager, the head coach, or the skill position players who have seen quite a few quarterbacks come through that building. Kyler apparently is light years ahead of where they thought he was going to be. And right now, the NFL is talking about Baker and talking about Mahomes. And obviously, Sam Darnold has a great, bright future. And everyone likes Josh Allen. But I think we come right out of the gates. Kingsbury's offense, five wide, you know, the spread offense. And Kyler is already a master and a maestro with what it is. And we haven't gotten hurt yet. We haven't been through the full season. Everything that I'm hearing is that from September to at least mid-October, Kyler Murray is going to light this league on fire. And I feel like he was drafted. And because they're in the 30th market or 31st media market, we haven't really talked much about Kyler. He is the rare rookie starting from day one with no competition and a head coach building an entire offense from scratch around him. I think we're about to enjoy quite a rocket here. And I just want you to get on early here in August. The Kyler Murray lightning rod is about to start.
Well, they need it. I mean, Arizona's in the NFC. Fox has the NFC. We've said they're one of the few teams that hasn't even been interesting to watch in the NFC last couple of years. So I'm excited for it. Now, is there a team to you? And I was thinking about this. I was literally flying back home last night. And I was thinking, the NFC is so good that I picked Atlanta to get to the Super Bowl last year, and nobody's talking about Atlanta. And I'm thinking, Lord, the NFC is so loaded. We have just – literally the Falcons are, like, on nobody's radar, and this team has got a stacked roster and a very good coach and quarterback. Is there a team to you, Schrags, that you're like, you're not paying attention to these guys? Who's going to shock us?
Okay, so I don't know if it's a Super Bowl prediction or anything. At the very least, intrigue-wise, I'm fascinated by what the Baltimore Ravens did this offseason. They put all their eggs in this Lamar Jackson basket. And, Colin, I know you like people who think outside the box.
Yep.
You would love to see a good TED Talk or whatever's going on in Silicon Valley. How about John Harbaugh winding the clock back 50 years in bringing out a wing T or a wishbone formation? They're all in on the run in a league that is all about passing. Right now, the entire league is going one way. They're zigging. The Ravens decided to completely zag another. I don't know if it works. I do know that they have four tight ends on their roster that are going to play. I do know that they got rid of Crabtree and John Brown, who were their top two wide receivers last year. And I do know that they added Mark Ingram to a backfield that was already really good. This is a team that is going in a direction that no other team in the league is going on offense. And I'm just interested. I'm not saying they are going to work. I'm not going to say they're going to be better than the Steelers or the Browns. I'm just fascinated because in 2019, in the year of everyone throwing for 5,000 yards and airing it out and big, tall wide receivers winning the day for you, they're going with a running quarterback who really struggled in the playoffs against the Chargers once a team saw him for the second time that time around. I'm fascinated. John Harbaugh's all in. He's got the extension, and they're putting all their eggs in a running offense with very little passing danger to it. It's very, very, very Silicon Valley, but it's almost like they're going backwards in time. I just want to see if it works.
Well, New England, Bill Belichick told a friend of mine who's close to the Patriots. I used to live out there and made enough contacts. He said, Belichick has told people, we're going to be better than last year. We're going to be deeper. We're going to be younger. He goes, there's some individual players and pieces we lost, but Belichick has told people, this will be my perhaps most athletic team I have had in a long time. What do you make of the Brady deal? How it's constructed? I guess they did save some cap space. I was just reading in the contract. What did you make of the whole deal?
Yeah, Colin, he's going to be the sixth highest paid quarterback this year. And what I think is so interesting is, you know, we could talk about Belichick's mastery of defense and offense and managing personnel, and that's fine. We could talk about Brady. The real advantage that New England has is the relationship between Brady and Kraft, where that Brady will not break the bank every time around. I was at the Combine in February, and his contract's looming, and I had an opposing official from a different team tell me, just wait till Brady comes and says, hey, I finally deserve mine, because they won't be able to say no. And guess what? He didn't do that. This is a long-term relationship that's going to go well beyond football. When Kraft bought the Patriots, he bought them for $175 million. They were recently valued by Forbes at $4.3 billion. And Tom Brady is one of the main reasons why. They live in a very similar neighborhood in Brookline, Massachusetts. They talk all the time. The Kraft family is as tight with Brady as any owner is to a player, maybe in the history of the sport. So I say all that because if Brady doesn't take it all up front, and you could say, well, Giselle makes all this money, it's fine. Just know that when Brady eventually does want to call it a career, that relationship is going to exist long beyond football. Brady will be a part of the Kraft circuit, and that's what they know. And it's almost an understanding. I don't think anything happened here that's nefarious. I think that exactly what he's making is what he's making. I am just saying Tom Brady may be with the Kraft family and business in some way for the next 40 years of his life.
Yep.
So if he makes $25 million this year as opposed to $35 million, there's nothing lost. It is the greatest advantage that they have as a team to anybody. They don't have to pay Brady what Rodgers has to get paid by Green Bay or what the Seahawks have to pay Russell Wilson. Now they could pay that $10 million elsewhere. What an advantage to have as a team building a roster.
By the way, Schrags, a couple of minutes left. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. There's been a lot of news. Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill. It's been a little rocky. I think their Super Bowl window, though, is open for 10 to 12 years. You called it last year. Some are suggesting a little step back. And by the way, the AFC, you can make an argument. The Colts will be better. The Steelers more focused. Cleveland's a real team. New England's younger. What do you predict for the Chiefs this year?
Here's the thing with the Chiefs, Colin. Everyone's predicting regression for Mahomes. Well, he threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards last year, but now there's a book on him. Here's the issue. If you look at the plays that Mahomes made, there's no way a book could have stopped a no-look pass or a throw that goes 80 yards off one leg. That doesn't get solved by watching film. Furthermore, usually when these teams are good, let's take the Eagles 2 years ago. The offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, gets plucked by the Colts. The quarterback's coach, John DeFilippo, gets plucked by the Vikings. They have what they call a brain drain, meaning all of the coaches go and take bigger jobs. Guess what? Andy Reid's still there. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, is still there. Mike Kafka, the former Northwestern quarterback, he's the quarterback's coach in Kansas City. He's still there. If anything, they added talent on offense, and they bring back all the same coaches. And you can't really solve Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid by watching a lot of film. This isn't some fluke offense. This isn't Chip Kelly with the spread. This is a freak of nature who's got a bunch of stallions at wide receiver and a really good coach calling the plays. I don't think it's crazy to say Mahomes throws 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards again, and I don't think it's crazy to say that they're even better than the one seed they were last year, that they go a step further. So I'm all in on the Chiefs. I'm pushing all my chips in. That was with Tyreek Hill or without Tyreek Hill, and oh yeah, he's on the field. Chiefs are going to be awesome this year. There's no way you can tell me that with bringing everybody back, all the coaches and players, and having Mahomes at quarterback, they're suddenly going to regress because, well, that's just what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, Shrek, I actually agree. I think that division, by the way, is all sorts of crazy at the top with the Chargers and the Chiefs. Peter Schrager also does a show called Good Morning Football on the NFL Network, co-author of the New York Times bestseller Out of the Blue. Good talking to you, buddy.
You're the best. Can't wait to get back on Fox NFL Kickoff with you, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday. Fire away.
Where Colin was right.
Tom Brady signs a new deal. Sixth highest paid quarterback. This is what Drew Brees does. When you stop seeking validation, having to be, once you have $200 million in the bank, the highest paid blank, you help your team. It's a league with a hard cap. I've said this about Brady. The two things that need to be written about Brady that have always been underreported. Number one is he's incredibly coachable. He's willing to be coached. Number two is he is willing to not be the highest paid, second, third, fourth, fifth. But his wife is rich. Yes. Guess what? Every star in every major league in this country has a net worth of over 100 and some million dollars. It's not about that. Once you stop worrying about the ego, if I've got to be... Tom's well compensated, but Tom knows it's a hard cap. Tom knows I want another defensive end, linebacker, kicker, corner. That's his greatness, and it's always been underreported. Willingness to be coach, willingness to get over himself.
Where Colin was wrong.
Warriors wrapped up Draymond Green over the weekend. That was a wow for me. I thought it was going to be a disruption. I thought they were going to have a tough decision to make. I mean, the guy averaged 7-7 last year in the regular season. But now you wake up this morning and they've got Steph, Clay, Draymond, Kayvon Looney, and a very good player slash asset in D'Angelo Russell, Steve Kerr, and Bob Myers. That's good. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I do think they'll eventually move off D'Angelo Russell. But to lock down Draymond Green, let's be honest. This is nothing against KD, but Draymond, Steph, and Clay are the soul of the organization. They have been. They're the guys. This is their organization. I still think they have to be a strong favorite to get to the Western Conference Finals. I don't know where they go from beyond there, but I have them third best in the West, second, depending on how fast the Lakers can get their act together.
Where Colin was right.
First college football coaches poll came out. Clemson won, Bama 2. They got all 65 coaching votes. What a shock. Whenever I hear people, a lot of times in the South, go, the NBA's too predictable. Really, college football's not? What do you bet Bama wins the SEC? And Clemson wins the ACC. By the way, Clemson and Bama are the only teams in their respective conferences in the last 3 years that have a winning record against top 25 teams. College football is more interesting when it's not completely regional. That's nothing against Dabo Sweeney. It's nothing against Nick Saban. But I would love to see a Michigan, a Washington, a Texas, somebody out of that, maybe a Penn State, maybe a Notre Dame. College football, last year ratings were down. It's not because the quality of the play has diminished. It's because it's become incredibly regional.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've never been a big believer in paying wide receivers, but I am a big believer in watching cultural changes and rule changes. And Michael Thomas signed a $100 million deal. And my takeaway is, yeah, he's worth it. $20 million a year in that system, that quarterback, that coach, that O-line, he's worth it. The reality is the game has changed. Analytics have made life worse for centers in the NBA and worse for running backs. But analytics have been great for wide receivers. The rule changes have been great for wide receivers. And Michael Thomas is a 100-plus catch guy. And you're guaranteed, this is why I would pay him, you're guaranteed production because of the quarterback, Drew Brees, the offensive line, which is top three in the league, and also because you have one of the great play designers in the NFL in Sean Payton. So this is one of these receivers now are often worth the big money. I didn't feel that 2 years ago. I would have paid Michael Thomas.
Where Colin was right.
Antonio Brown is really talented, but man, he is a lot of noise. The hot air balloon. Now he's not showing up to camp. He took a couple of shots at teammates, ex-teammates a couple of months ago. Listen, if you look at the history of the NFL, superstar wide receivers almost never work with their second team. The team that drafts them knows the odometer. There's a relationship, a paternal family relationship. If that erodes and they go elsewhere for big money, it generally doesn't work. The expectations are unrealistic, and the player often goes to unfamiliar territory, gets a lot of money, and doesn't maybe have as good a quarterback. So John Gruden, over the weekend, AB's not in camp. He's got a foot issue. Here we go again.
I think we're all disappointed. We think he's disappointed. We like to, you know, get the party started. We like to get him out here. He's a big part of this team.
Here's another thing. Sometimes you pay a guy and they change. I think AB's changed. He's had teammates say that.
Where Colin was wrong.
Man, the praise is constant and effusive for Kyler Murray. I said, I hope it works. I don't know if I would have done it. Larry Fitzgerald, the staff, the team, the media, people say Kyler Murray has been a seamless transition at quarterback. It'd be easy for me to say, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. But generally, when you start hearing stories in camp about, remember Dak Prescott? People were like, oh, he's pretty good. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he's pretty good. Aaron Rodgers, we've seen him at practice. He's pretty good. Generally, people aren't making it up. Here was Larry Fitzgerald talking about the rookie, Kyler Murray.
Well, I've never seen a quarterback come in so quickly and be able to command an offense. I mean, from day one, he's out there checking the different plays, sliding the line, different protections, getting us in screens where blitzes come in. I mean, so his understanding of the offense is crazy. I mean, from day one. And I think that's going to give us a great advantage. You know, to play fast from the first preseason game all the way to the start of the regular season. And giving him the keys to the car and letting him go is great for us.
By the way, the underreported part of this is Lincoln Riley, the coach of Oklahoma. I had a scout tell me that when Baker Mayfield sat down for the first time, went on the whiteboard, it was like he could teach a master's class. And they said Sam Darnold could not. He said, look at USC's coaching. They fired their coordinator. Look at Oklahoma's coaching. Let's be honest. Lincoln Riley, if you're a high school quarterback and you want to learn an offense, Baker and Kyler now walk into this league and can go to a whiteboard and teach class. That college coach in Oklahoma deserves some credit.
Where Colin was right.
I've always said, ownership in the NFL or NBA, pay attention to it. Todd Haley, the former Browns coach, admitted that Jimmy Haslam, the owner for the Browns, didn't see anything wrong doing Hard Knocks as they brought in Hugh Jackson and Haley, drafted a quarterback to turn around the organization. The quote from Todd Haley was, I went to the owner, Jimmy Haslam. When John Dorsey told me they were doing the show, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We're trying to make a drastic change. Turn it around. This is the wrong thing to happen. I told the Browns owner, Jimmy, this is a mistake. Don't do it. This has been my concern with Cleveland. It's not the roster. Did they hire Freddie Kitchens because he won't push back on John Dorsey? The owner's a billionaire. He couldn't figure out this was an awful idea. The Raiders, I know why they're doing Hard Knocks. We all know why. They're trying to sell tickets in Vegas. It's not about football. But what Todd Haley told you is my concern about Cleveland. The guys that own the team and run the team can't figure out basic stuff, which is Hard Knocks, rookie quarterback, new coaches, 0-16. This is how you want to turn things around.
Where Colin was wrong.
David Griffin unloaded on LeBron Friday. Got to be honest. I was always told they were boys. Tight. Friends. Guys. Now, David Griffin has come out and said, hey, I'm sorry about that. Let me clarify it. But, I was actually shocked. I'm not shocked a lot in my business. But when David Griffin came out and kind of dropped the anvil on LeBron saying he was miserable in Cleveland, LeBron didn't feel the same way about winning, my takeaway is, oh, I missed on that one. I never saw that coming. That's a total surprise. Now, he's clarified his comments since. But not that this story was a surprise, that it was miserable in Cleveland, but that David Griffin would deliver it totally shocked me.
Where Colin was right?
Baker Mayfield chugging beers. It's not the end of the world. But I've always said the thing I worry about Baker Mayfield, he's got to win the moment. So here was another. You're on television. Ah, let me grab the beer can and win the moment. It's not the end of the world. Cleveland loves it. Of course they love it. What I worry about Baker Mayfield is this. The funny quote, respond on Twitter, chug the beer. I got to win the moment. I just don't see Russell Wilson doing that. I don't see Andrew Luck doing that. I don't think Sam Darnold does it. But I wasn't shocked at all that Baker Mayfield did it because I think he's a win the moment guy.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, Zion Williamson, as predicted, is already a star. So the NBA schedule is leaking out bit by bit. The Christmas Day game, which is the biggest game to start the season, Zion's on national TV. Oh, by the way, the opening game, Zion takes on the defending champs, the Toronto Raptors. I said from day one, the magnetism, this kid's Magic Johnson with power around the basket. He's different. He's handsome. He's fun. He's optimistic. He's likable. And for a kid that's all that athletic, he's kind of relatable. He said, I want to stay at Duke for another year. I would, except it's time to go pro. The magnetism he brings in, give the NBA credit. They're not waiting around on this thing. Opening night, boom, he faces the defending champs. Christmas Day, let's put him on against whoevs. He's a star. The NBA's always doing a great job to embrace their stars. I mean, can you imagine baseball? You know, a 17, 18-year-old comes into baseball and the sport says, hey, he's our newest rock star. Let's put him on the opening game. Are you kidding me? Oh, Lord, this is what baseball could learn from basketball. When you get something new and fresh, don't fight it. Don't push back. Celebrate it. Embrace it. Put your arms around it and market the you-know-what out of it, forcing guys like me to talk about your newest stars. Calling right, calling wrong.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We call it the three-word game in Best for Last that I believe you can describe sports teams in three words. It forces you to narrow in on what really matters for every team. I don't think most teams are that complex. They have strengths. They have liabilities. And so we do the three-word game. You guys ready for it? For the AFC, we'll do NFC tomorrow. But we'll start with AFC, every team, every division. Here we go. AFC East, Patriots, somehow getting younger. Yes, Brady turns 42, but Gronk retired. Not only will their first five draft picks this year play, they drafted not only talent but need, but three of their top four draft picks last year, very good players, got hurt. They will have an infusion of eight young players joining what was a Super Bowl winning team. I really think, and Belichick has told friends this, this will be his youngest, most talented, and athletic team in the last several years. Yeah, Brady's old, but he'll be surrounded by some really talented youth. Dolphins. Fitz of delusion, as in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is leading in the quarterback battle over Josh Rosen. Listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick has started for seven other franchises. He is hot and cold. He's the definition of a backup quarterback. He's not consistently great, but if your starter goes down for 2 weeks, he'll give you one great performance. The question begs, though, what's the point? This is a rebuilding franchise that needs to figure out if Josh Rosen, like all the other quarterbacks drafted a year ago, is ready. I say throw Rosen in. How about Jets? Double their wins. Adam Gase, Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley, Jamison Crowder. I don't think any team in the NFL from general manager, coach, offensive line, star running back, star linebacker, has improved themselves more than the Jets. Now, the Giants are so loud in New York, they're stealing all the thunder. And Baker Mayfield is such a showman that Baker is getting a lot more press than Sam Darnold. But this is a real football team now that has solved their primary weakness: O-line, offensive ingenuity, and running back. Also added C.J. Mosley, one of the most dependable tacklers in the NFL, along with Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams, and their top draft pick. I think it's a team that goes to 8 wins, doubling last year's total. Bills, all on Allen. It's about Josh Allen. He wasn't very good last year. He's the wild pony we predicted. He's got a little Big Ben. He can run around, throw it downfield, but last year completed less than 53% of his throws. I actually like the coaching staff in Buffalo, and I think their defense has some talent, but you got to be all on Allen. How about AFC South? Texans. Deshaun, DeAndre, defense. Listen, they lost their first 3 games and then went and finished 11-5. Okay, that's fairly remarkable. They've got a great young quarterback and a great wide receiver, and I like their defensive personnel. They need help after that. Titans, Mariota or Divorciota? Okay, it's cheesy, but the guy can't stay healthy. And Tennessee now has been 9-7 three straight years, and they do a lot of things well. O-line, running game, pass rush. They've got talent. Marcus Mariota had 7 different injuries last year. It's time to clean it up, keep him healthy, or they're moving on. Colts, best of luck. Won 9 of their last 10. Hottest team in the league until they went to Arrowhead and got silenced. But Andrew Luck has a calf injury, and maybe it's just a matter of luck. Love their O-line. Love some of their young defensive players like Darius Leonard. But that calf is a problem. The Colts are in trouble. Jaguars, don't be Foles. Outside of Philly, Nick Foles is 5-7 as a starter. Stop telling me he's better than Carson Wentz. He's not close. He's a nice backup. Backups can be great, occasionally and briefly. How about the AFC West? Chiefs, window wide open. Listen, Patrick Mahomes just turned 24. Third year, he's an MVP. Andy Reid has the highest winning percentage in Chiefs history and is one of the great play designers. Offensively, talent everywhere. They are going to have some questions at pass rusher. D4, Justin Houston gone. GM, owner, coach, quarterback, skill people, Patrick Mahomes, their Super Bowl window is wide open for the next decade. I would be shocked if they don't win at least one. Chargers, good without Gordon. Listen, he missed 4 games last year. They were 4-0, including wins over playoff teams. And they have depth at running back. Austin Eckler. Here's the thing about the Chargers. I joke they're the Noah's Ark of the NFL. Two good backs, two good receivers, two pass rushers, two good linebackers, two good corners. They're really good. And they're not beholden to a running back. They offered him 9-10. That's about what I'd pay him. But this is a loaded roster. Again, there are teams out there like Houston that could die for Melvin Gordon. I just don't think the Chargers are a roster that is desperate. How about Broncos? Your average Joe, as in Flacco. He got benched for Lamar. He completed 61% of his throws. You know, Flacco's always been that guy. There are moments. He's actually kind of an interesting player on the road in big games. A couple times he out-dueled Tom Brady. But in the end, the league is changing. He's not mobile. He's not as precise as I'd like. He's your average Joe. Raiders. Silver and Yap. Could they stop talking? Hard Knock starts tomorrow. The GM was a TV star. The coach is a TV star. Antonio Brown. Talk, 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 talk. I want less talk, more W's. Hard Knock starts tomorrow. I guarantee you it's going to be absolutely fascinating, but I'm done with the talking. AFC North, Ravens. Passing on passing. All right. They're going to go old school. They're going to do everything that nobody else wants to do in 2019. I'm not sure it's going to work, but I'm not sure it won't. They're very contrarian. They'll be hard to prepare for. Last year, Lamar Jackson completed 58% of his throws. But I will say they have upgraded at tight end. They've upgraded at running back. I think they drafted a wide receiver. So my guess is if he can get into the low 60%, they're okay. Bengals, disaster tailor-made. as in first-year head coach Zach Taylor. Listen, the minute this organization paid Andy Dalton, they had to make decisions on personnel, and Andy's not good enough to carry him. So this is what happens when you get a young quarterback and you have to pay him. They did, and they've never been the same team. Steelers, addition by attraction. James Conner, 12 touchdowns. Juju Smith had 1,400-plus yards receiving. Big Ben led the NFL in passing yards, and it's the best offensive line, in my opinion, in the AFC. Antonio Brown's great, but this organization has done a remarkable job in my lifetime to recruit and draft wide receivers. I think they're fine. It's less noisy. A week ago, Big Ben came out and said, you know what? I'm having a lot of fun this year. I think they'll be fine. They won't be as explosive on the perimeter, but they'll be fine. And finally, Browns, potential Kitchens nightmare. That's a Gordon Ramsay show. Freddie Kitchens is the coach. A couple years ago, 18 months ago, he was a running back coach in Arizona. He was hired by Cleveland to be a running back coach. I don't know anything about him. He quarterbacked at Alabama. He's a nice guy. He's pretty good in front of a microphone. Baker, OBJ, meddling GM, owner issues. Got no idea what I get with the Browns.